Thank you for listening to this podcast presented by Compassion Church. For more information on service times and location, please visit CompassionDanville.com. Now, let's enjoy this week's message.
To dig into that in just a minute. Before we get started digging into the word this morning, though, I want to make sure you guys know about our volunteer celebration that's coming up in 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks from today on the 29th. We're having our annual volunteer celebration. It's where we celebrate our dream team. You say, well, what's a dream team, Jeff? Well, it takes a dream team of volunteers in this place week after week to do everything that gets done. Yeah, sure, you see the band and you see, you know, the greeters and all that, but you might not see people behind the wall that's making it possible for us to do online ministry. You might not always see the people in the booth. You may not know about people who are praying. There are all kinds of volunteers, and once a year, we love to take a time and just celebrate our volunteers. And so I'm saying to you right now, if you have not yet responded to let us know that you're coming to our volunteer celebration on the 29th, it's at the Atkinson Barn. The theme this year is Kentucky Derby. So ladies, if y'all have always wanted to buy one of those big fancy hats and put flowers all over it and whatever, I know nothing about any of that, but I'm told that's what we're doing. It's a time to dress up. Guys, come on now, take a shower, shave up a little bit, get looking pretty. Come on, well, guys will show up too, and we're gonna have a great time. He said, well, how do I know if I'm invited? Well, if you're a volunteer, if you serve in any capacity here, we want you to be there. If you've served in the last year in any capacity in our church, we want you to be at the volunteer celebration so we can just tell you thank you for all the work that you've done. If you've not yet heard from your director or coordinator or leader in your area about coming to the volunteer celebration, reach out to us today. And the way that you would do that, just take your orange card, write a note on it and say, hey, I'm curious about the volunteer celebration. Will somebody contact me? Drop it off at the orange wall. We'll get in touch with you about that. All right? It's a big deal. It's coming up soon, and we're excited. We'll have a great time with that. All right. This morning, I want to jump back in. This is our third week in this September series called The Time Is Now. The time's not last week. It's not last year. Time for church is not 1980. And the time is not necessarily in the future. The time for this church, the time for the church of Jesus Christ to really rise up in the world that we're in, the time is now. And that's not just a statement. All you have to do is look around and see the world that we live in, realize that the world that we live in needs the church that's called by Jesus Christ to rise up and be the church, to be people of faith. And so I want you to think about this morning the impact that a local church makes on the community and the society that it's in. Or I want you to think about the lack of impact that a church might make. Because if a church is all about checking boxes and let's go to the worship service, but then we just go back to our normal lives and we don't let Jesus lead us, then what kind of an impact are we making? You see, Jesus led a group of followers. Man, you might say they were a ragtag bunch, but give me 12 guys who are sold out and devoted like those men were to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Peter left his wife and mother-in-law, and some of y'all would say, well, where do I sign up now? Now, slow down, settle down. But the rest of those guys, man, they left their careers. They went into the unknown, and Jesus took them into adventure, and they changed the world with what they were doing. He taught us to have compassion on other people. Right? He taught us how to help other people, to serve others, to put others first. That's what Jesus wants his church to do, and the time is now. But unfortunately, would y'all agree with me that when you look around at church culture today, what does church culture suggest? It really, if all you see of church culture is what you see through social media, YouTube, you know what you see? You see churches that have great worship and amazing lights and beautiful social media and phenomenal speakers. And you see churches that fill up massive buildings with lots of people who sit and listen to the singers and watch the speaker and go right back to their life and they're never changed. And that's not what God has called us to. Give me a smaller group that's committed and sold out and says, I want to really be a dynamic follower of Jesus. I want to be sold out. Teach me how to follow him in a way that will change my life so that I can change the lives of others. Give me a smaller group of that rather than a larger group of people who are just consumers, We want contributors. But unfortunately, in the culture today, in church, we see a lot of consumerism. Do we see through all these sermons that are being preached, do we see sermons turning into servants of God? Are we more attracted to the services than we are to the Savior? That's where we start this morning. Remember Joshua 24:15? I don't know if y'all have ever read the book of Joshua, y'all, but Joshua, man, that dude is a stone cold warrior. You hear me? Joshua was a warrior. And when Joshua stepped into his leadership role, Moses, book starts off, says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now God puts the mantle onto Joshua, and Joshua has to go in, and he has to kill, and he has to fight, and he has to clear all of the rabble out of the promised land, and he does it. And Joshua stands up in Joshua 24 and he says, I don't know about y'all, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to declare that over this church this morning. If I can be so bold as to be the shepherd of this house, I want to declare over this house that Compassion Danville will not settle for being a church that's filled with marginal, lazy Christians, but that we will go all in with Jesus to be everything he wants us to be in this community, in this time. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Well, church, I don't want you to settle for anything less than being a dynamic disciple. And that's what I want to call this message this morning, dynamic disciples. You say, where are you going with that, Jeff? Well, you know what a disciple is, right? A disciple, in Jesus' day, there were 12 guys that he called to come and follow him. They became disciples. He was the rabbi, the teacher, the leader, and they became students of his. But what does that have to do with us in our day? Well, if you're someone who's new to church or you've recently become a follower of Jesus, I need you to understand that Jesus doesn't want you to just walk an aisle and kneel down and pray a prayer and be baptized and check a box that says, okay, I've done the thing I'm supposed to do. Now I'm going to heaven. Now let me go live like hell the rest of my life. It's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants to teach you how he wants you to live. And if I could be so bold as to say this to you, the New Testament lays out a beautiful plan for you. Hear what I'm saying. The whole Bible is important, but the Old Testament, right? The first two-thirds of the Bible, the Old Testament, is pointing to a Messiah who will come and change everything. Well, guess what? We live in a time where Messiah has come and he's changed everything. We don't live under the Old Testament law, even though it's important. It shows us how God operates. We live in a New Testament age where Jesus has shown his followers how to have love and compassion and to live godly lives and to influence and change the world around us. And that's what he's calling us to do, man. He's calling us to be multifaceted, dynamic disciples. You say, what do you mean dynamic? It's the difference between printing out a sheet of paper that has a picture of a diamond on it, right? I could just put a picture of a diamond up there, but all you're seeing is a flat picture of it. That's, from a Christian standpoint, that's someone who's a church person. Right? Maybe they've been saved, but they're a church person. They check the box. They go to church. But church doesn't affect their life anymore once they walk out those doors. A multifaceted, dynamic disciple is like holding the queen's diamond in your hand and holding it up to the light. And you see the light and you see the different facets. You see the angles. You see the color. You see the clarity. You see the beauty. And that's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be people. Paul said, I have become all things to all people so that by some means I might save anybody. He's teaching us, man, how to be people who love people everywhere we go. God doesn't want you to sit here and be bored. Come on, some of y'all going to be asleep by the time I get done. God bless you. But he doesn't want you to be bored Christians sitting in pews. He wants you to come in here and get fired up and get excited so you can get back out there, get connected with some people, and make a difference in our world. And so, I want to talk to you with four things this morning. Four things. Good preachers would give you three, but I'm not that good, so it takes me four. So, four things that we can do to become multifaceted, dynamic disciples. Here's the first thing. It's very complex. Stay with me. Number one, we have already decided, yes, we are going to church. That's complicated, isn't it? That's complicated. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 25. The writer of Hebrews says, let's not give up meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing. Stop right there. Let's not give up meeting together. If I could say this to you this morning, church, if there could be one thing that might change your life, especially if you are a marginal Christian, If you're someone who's new to this and you once in a while decide, yeah, let's go to church. I feel like, boy, I made a mess all week. Man, I've been drinking too much, smoking too much, having sex with people too much, and I need to go get my act cleaned up. Let's go to church. If that's the way you view church, you're going to come once in a while. Then you come in, and the Holy Spirit will make you feel guilty about something. You say, I ain't going back there no more. That makes me feel bad. Well, when you come into a New Testament church where the Holy Spirit of God is working, sure, he's going to convict you. But in that conviction, he's going to remind you that the Lord is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And he will clean you up from all of the junk and he'll set you free. The chains get broken and you get to walk back into a life where things are different. But you don't get that if you decide that I'm going to stay home and we're going to go eat brunch this morning. Let us not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. In other words, the early church, some of them have been saved and changed in their lives and whatever. They've met the risen Savior, but after a time, they got busy. After a time, they got distracted. After a time, they gave up going to church. He says, let's not do that. Let's encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is approaching? Well, you could say it's the day of the Lord's return coming, and that is coming. It's as a capital D, so I'm sure that's what he's talking about. The Lord's return is coming, but that's been coming for 2,000 years. Do you need that to motivate you to be the person God's called you to be? Or could it be that today is coming when your children are more influenced by social media and a phone than they are by your talks at home over the table? It could be that your children are more influenced by social media than they are by a Sunday school teacher. It could be that your teenagers are more influenced by the dope dealer than they are by the Sunday night, the Wednesday night, all of those things. Could it be that that day is not coming but is already here? Could it be that your neighbor is struggling with depression and addiction and suicidal thoughts and lust and on and on and on? And God's pulled you out of a pit. And God said, if you'll go to church, in that church, not only are you going to worship and sing songs and listen to messages, but you're going to have a chance to get connected with some groups where you can take your pain from 1974 and speak into somebody's 2024 and actually help somebody. Let's not give up on going together. Let's not give up on meeting together. Let's get back to it. Man, we got to make up our mind. Hear me say this to you. If you're a person who on Saturday night, you're watching the ball game and you're watching the movie and you're out and you're doing the thing, and every week if you think, well, we'll just see how we feel in the morning when we wake up. Bro, just stay in the bed. You already made up your mind. You're not getting up and you're not going. If you have to make up your mind, I take that back. Don't stay in the bed. Come on down here. We'll be glad you came. Forgive me, Lord. In my little old flesh right there for a minute. But if you will make up your mind, all the men in the room, raise your hand, men. Can I see the men in the room? Guys, let me holler at y'all just a minute. Dad, husband, fiance, grandpa, uncle, whatever your role is in this thing. Dads, if you're leading this thing and say to your family today, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to make up our mind. We're going to church. Don't ask me Saturday night. Don't ask me Sunday morning. Just be prepared. Family, church, we're going to church. And we're going to go every week. And yeah, I get it. There are times when you can't go. I get it. Man, you need to go on vacation once in a while. And there's things that happen with work, and I get all of that stuff. But the normal course of affairs is that on Sunday morning, we're going to church. Men in this room, if you would make that proclamation over your family, my guess is your wife would welcome that. In most cases, your wife wants you to do that. If you will make that proclamation and bring your family to church, your kids are going to learn about Jesus. Your teenagers are going to be encouraged, and they're going to be connected with other teens and adults who will build into their life. You're going to have opportunities. I could go on and on and on, but you get it, man. You say, well, Pastor, I love God, but I can be a Christian without going to church. God, how many times have I heard that? Okay, maybe you're right. Let's just say you're right about that. But what if you take that stand? I can be a Christian without going to church. Is that where you want to set the bar for your life when Jesus left the glory and splendor of heaven and came and died on a cross for you? Well, what I'm saying to you is, do you want to stand before the Almighty one day and he says, okay, tell me what you did with my son Jesus? And you say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church. You mean the institution that I created to change the world and I put other followers of me, believers, you decided that you didn't want to connect with that because it was too much trouble for you? You sure you want to stand before Almighty God and say that? You say, yes, well, Pastor, I've been church hurt. Let me tell you something. I have been too. People have said things about me. People have hurt my family. People have told lies on me, but it ain't going to keep me from coming here on Sunday morning. Woo! Come on, Ric Flair, get you some of that. Hey, I'm coming. I'm going to be here, and I would be here if I wasn't preaching. Because this is where I connect with you. And yeah, we're going to get sideways sometimes. And I'm going to do the wrong thing. And you're going to say the wrong thing. And we're not going to like each other for a little bit. But at some point, we're going to hug back up and say, look, bro, I love you. Let's get over that past. God is more important than our little squabbles. Let's get on with it. I've been church hurt. You've been church hurt. Jesus was church hurt, but he died for us. Let's keep going. Number two. We've been given a spiritual gift. We've been dynamic disciples. We've been given a spiritual gift. We're putting it to use. Dynamic disciples are going to put it to use. Now, do you get it? Do you get it that if you were a follower of Jesus, that Almighty God has built at least one spiritual gift into you? You look at yourself sometimes, you say, man, if I am honest with me, I am some kind of an odd duck. Well, you might be. But guess what? All of us are in some way. All of us are in some way. And that oddity about you is not a mistake. God created you with a design because there's a certain thing that he wants and needs for you to do. There are people that you're going to connect with that nobody else could. There's things he's built into you that you can do that nobody else can do. It's one thing to go to church, but if we're talking about being dynamic disciples, it's time to ratchet things up a notch. So let's use our gifts. You say, what are those gifts? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start at verse 4. Says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now stop right there. Notice that. Different kinds of gifts. I look around this room at all of you guys, and all of you have different gifts, but there's one Spirit. All of us come back to the one spot, the one Spirit of God. He gives us all these different gifts. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Manifestation of the Spirit just means that the Spirit of God shows up in your life when you're saved, and it's for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. What would it look like to have a spiritual gift of wisdom? Well, wisdom and knowledge go hand in hand. And typically what wisdom is I've learned something, I have a head knowledge of it, and wisdom is when I apply the knowledge that I have. But have you ever known someone who has a wisdom that is beyond the things that they've experienced, right? King Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, God gave him the spirit of wisdom. He didn't learn all those things. God just downloaded. Some of you in this room have a spiritual gift of wisdom that God has given you. It says to another, he gives the spirit of knowledge. That's just knowing things. How could you know the things that you don't know? I knew a guy once that was a Bible teacher at another church I went to, and he was a smart guy, but he had a spiritual gift of being able to memorize scripture. And I'm not talking about a verse or two. I'm talking about chunks of Bible. He had more of the Bible memorized than he didn't. He could quote whole books of the Bible to you. How do you do that? That's a spiritual gift. God gave him that so that he would know the word so that he could help teach it to other people. It says to another, he gives faith by the same Spirit. Some of us believe, but some of y'all are huge believers, huge faith people who believe things that you have no business believing. Like you believe in the impossible and the incredible, and guess what? Your faith opens the door for heaven to work. And if you go on, it says to others, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And lots of times when I hear messages about the gifts of the Spirit, it seems like all anybody wants to talk about is the gift of speaking in tongues. And that is a gift. And if you look back to Pentecost, it was a gift that was given where believers actually spoke in different languages, French, German, Spanish, whatever, that they had not learned. And they spoke languages that they didn't know. And then there was someone there to interpret, or the people just understood it. But don't get bogged down in that. Don't get bogged down in, well, do I speak in tongues or do I not? Get bogged down in what is my spiritual gift. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know what your spiritual gift is. But can I tell you this? You have a gift. I'll tell you this. I haven't been a lead pastor all my life. Like this year in October, it'll be 19 years that I've been in full-time ministry. I'm 55 years old, so that means about 36, I think, if that's quick math, is up until that point, I was just going to church. You know what I've done, man? Trying to figure out what, some of y'all are like, man, I don't know what my gift is, and I've tried everything. Bro, I have been a parking lot attendant. I have sang in the choir. I've sang in the worship team. I've been on the drama team, right? I have been a Sunday school teacher. I've been an elementary helper because I wasn't good enough to be the elementary teacher, right? Then I moved up the ladder, got to be an elementary teacher, right? I've been a discipleship director, a youth director, and I don't know what all else. You say, why are you telling me that, Jeff? Because I tried a lot of different things, and some things like, okay, I might not be good at this. This might not be my lane, but they need me to serve here for a minute, so I'll do that. But then I would try something else. It's like, wait a minute, I really like this. People would tell me I'm good at this. Now I'm starting to find my lane. What am I telling you? If you're just sitting there on the bench, that's not a dynamic disciple. This is a church that needs you. It's not just about Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Man, there's groups that's going on. There's ministries, and we need you. Time out for just a minute for this commercial message. I see all the fans going out there. I'm sorry, y'all. Look, we came in this morning and the air conditioner was acting a whole fool up in here this morning. And, man, Jackie gave a fantastic giving talk just a minute ago. Let me just tell you this as a side note. Over the last month, we have put in about $30,000 worth of HVAC equipment, two different units. You think if one unit goes out your house, what a problem that is? Well, we put in two units, and we're in the process of replacing the whole HVAC system in this sanctuary, and that's going to be done over the next few months. And so we came in this morning, and something was out in the air conditioner. I greatly apologize for those of you, especially who are visitors with us. It's not normally this hot in here, but thank the Lord for the fans. So, fan away. Y'all look like the old school church right now. So, you've been given a spiritual gift. Put it to use. You get what I'm saying there. Number three, let's keep going. Number three, we engage in Christian community and we grow in groups. And I love Acts 2, man. It's a picture of the early church. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. If you want to know what the church looked like when the church first began, here it is. In verse 42, these new believers, these followers of Jesus, this is after Jesus had ascended back and they were trying to figure it out. What do we do now? What did they do? Verse 42, it says, they devoted. Everybody say devoted. See, that's different, isn't it? When you're devoted to something, you don't go when you feel like it. When you're devoted to something, it means something to you. When you're devoted to something, you're invested in it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, guess what? That's what we're doing right now. We're reading the apostles' teaching. And they devoted themselves to the fellowship. That's when we get together and do things together. It's not just the service. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. That means God was doing stuff. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. What a beautiful thing. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Look at the joy. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as I read that, I think about that picture of what the church, people who are following Jesus the way he's called, listen to the joy. Listen to the provision. Listen to the community, the camaraderie, the friendship, the family that was taking place in that early church. And then look at what the whole world is looking for. Every organization out here wants to have community like that. And we have an opportunity to have it in the church. Jackie and I are part of a group. We push you guys about being in groups sometimes. truth of it is we're in a number of groups, but we're in a group that meets on Tuesday nights, and we meet at Trampas Alderson's house. A number of us meet over there. Man, it's a beautiful thing. We get there and we sit down at the table and we share a meal together and we talk about how our day, how our week's going, laugh about some things, move to the living room. Trampas puts on The Chosen, that series, and we watch The Chosen, watch an episode. When it's over with, we talk about it, talk about the things of God, how he's working in our lives. We pray together. Then we leave. And throughout the week, we got a little text thread that's going and people are texting, good morning, how you doing? Pray for me about this. That's what God has for his people. In this church, there are groups that's going, I don't know if you know this, there are groups that's going on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, four nights of the week, there are groups that are going on. Can I ask you something? Why are you not in a group? There are groups that don't even meet here, groups that meet in homes like I just described. Every person here should be connected in a group. Why? Because we grow in groups. You say, yeah, but I don't trust people, Jeff. Well, guess what? I don't either. But sometimes we got to let our guard down, and we got to let people get close, and we got to let other people's lives rub off on us. And I'm telling you, just because I'm the guy that's up here with the microphone, I don't have all the answers, and I learn from the people in my group, and I learn from their experiences, and I'm trying to let my guard down and say, okay, let me be a little bit vulnerable, and let me share a little bit about my life with these guys. Guess what? They haven't hurt me yet. And if they do, guess what? We'll get over it and we'll grow together in it. And I'm encouraging you to get into a group because that's where we grow. It's what God wants you to do. Number four, we're on a mission. This is the last one. We're on a mission. We will share the good news of Jesus. Going back to Luke 9, kind of a different version of the Great Commission. Verse 1 in chapter 9 of Luke says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and he gave them authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Why do you think Jesus would say that? He's sending them out to share the message of the gospel. And don't take any money, bread, don't take a staff, don't take an extra coat. Jesus was sending them out because he wanted them to see that he had given them the power and the authority of God, and God was going to be enough for everything that they needed. And he's telling you the same thing. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God wants to shake some of you so hard because you're so entrenched in a comfort zone, the thoughts of doing something other than going to church. Like we feel like we're suffering in here because it's 74 degrees or whatever it is. Man, I sat in a little church in Haiti outside where they had two concrete blocks and a 2x8 laying across them, and it's 198 degrees out there. I think I saw the devil come walking through there one time. And those dudes out there strumming on a guitar and singing, Gloria, Gloria, adios, Gloria. You right? They're singing to the Lord. Man, he's telling us that we have power and we have authority and we got to get over some things and be a little bit uncomfortable. Listen, God wants you to be uncomfortable sometimes, because when you get uncomfortable is when you get outside of your own skin, outside of your own ability. And when you get outside of you, you're going to see the power of God work in you, but you got to trust him to do it. He says, whatever house you enter, check, I love this verse, verse 4. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. Some of y'all hollering and talking about, well, praise the Lord, bless God, I've been witnessing to so-and-so for 18 years. Well, how many people have you not witnessed to while you're trying to mess around with somebody that obviously is not ready for God yet? You say, what do you mean, Jeff? Do I not witness to them? Yeah, you witness to them and you pray for them. But if that's the only place you're going, man, go to where the soil is good. Go to where there are people that are hurting and waiting for the Lord, right? We share the gospel, and if it's not received, okay, praise God. I'm not mad at you. You're just obviously not ready yet. Now I'm going to go on to somebody else, and I'm going to find somebody who needs to know about Jesus, and I'm going to help them and walk them right into the kingdom of God. Man, we can do that. So they set out and they went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Church, it seems like our generation of Christians has lost sight of this thing that we have a commission to share the gospel. But we just read that Jesus gave us power and authority. So why are we not telling others the good news? Dynamic disciples take all of this very seriously. And we pray and we look for opportunities to step in. We equip ourselves and we learn how to share the gospel. We learn where to go in the Bible to do it. You say, Jeff, I don't know. Well, do you know this? Do you have a God story? Were you once lost and now you're not? Could you share that story with somebody? Could you listen, and as God begins to show you, here's a person who's struggling, here's a person who's hurting, here's a person who's mad at God, here's a person who's distant and far from God, could you make time to invest in that person over a cup of coffee or chips and salsa and say, man, I love you, but I see you struggling. How you doing? Tell me what's going on. Man, I was there too. I went through it. Let me tell you what God did in my life. I was so lost, and then I started talking to Jesus, and he started talking back to me. I started seeing him move mountains in my life. I can't explain it, but what I can tell you is if you'll trust him in your brokenness, he's going to meet you there. Can you do that? Sure you can. Sure you can. You have a story to share. You have a story to share, man. You know, Jackie said a minute ago, our community has been wrecked over the last 7 days. Beautiful young man, broken, hurting, didn't know where to go to find help. Took his own life. As a church in this community, we got to take that one on the chin, y'all. Got another young man who last night, the night before last, whatever it was, overdosed, gone. He was trying so hard. I talked to him 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, sat downstairs and talked to him. He talked to us about how well he's doing. I'm doing good. I'm making progress. Been in the Hope Center a couple of times, but I'm doing better. He was hurting. He was trying. We got to do more, y'all. We got to do better. Evil has spread so deep and so fast that it's killing people that we love. But would you just hear me say this right now before you let that blanket fall over you? Jesus has just told us that he's given us power and authority over these things. We just read that he's given us power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And we're excited about going to Elevation Church in Charlotte and hearing a speaker? We can sit in our living room and meet with Jesus. We can get fired up and leave our house on Monday morning looking for the one who needs us. Yeah, I got to go drive my dump truck. Yeah, I got to run my bread route. Yeah, I got to teach my kids. Yeah, I got to do my job. But on the way, who's hurting? God, I'm taking hold of this power, this authority that you've given me. And I'm not waiting on Jeff Lynch or somebody on a pulpit to be the people of God. I'm going to be the people of God. And I'm going to find one person this week, God, that I can make a difference in their life. And it might be a text message that simply says, how you doing? I miss you. Where you been? You've been mighty quiet lately. Somebody needs you, man. You say, I don't know, Jeff. Well, if you don't know how to do that and you're not equipped for that, it's okay to be there, but it's not okay to stay there. Don't put up a mailbox. Make a decision that every week I'm going to church. I would join a ministry team and serve and figure out what my spiritual gifts are, and then I'm going to run that lane. I will get in a group and I'm going to grow together, and by the time 6 months is over with, I'm going to be equipped. I'm going to be sharing my story with somebody else. And I want to just end right there. I want to end right there because this is serious and this is real. And this is not entertainment. This is about life and death and evil and the kingdom of God. Father, I just want to leave right there. I just put it in your hands, God. God, we are your people, and we need you. Jesus, we need you to embolden us. God, we need you to shake us. We need you to start a fire in us. God, it's not okay that our children and our friends and our family and our neighbors are dying. It's not okay that they're living in pain when we are the people of God. This is real and it matters. And I just pray over this congregation. This is your church, Jesus. And we've read your word. And we've asked you this morning to do the miraculous, to do the impossible. And we've told you that we're expecting you to do that. I don't know what you're going to do in the next few moments, Lord. But I'm asking you right now, Jesus, have your way. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet right now as they begin singing this next song? They're really good singers. They sing better than y'all do, so let them sing. And as they're singing, if God's putting something on your heart, if you need to give your life to Jesus and be saved today, I want you to do that. Believe me, I want you to do that. You can come down here and have a conversation with him and surrender your life to him. If that's where you are, if that's what you need to do, do that. But there are lots of you here right now that just need to hit your knees in front of the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up. Give me the courage, give me the wisdom, and give me pointed in the right direction, and help me to be and help me to do what you want me to need and want me to be and do. As they sing, as they play, you come. Get close to the Lord to do what he wants you to do.
Thank you for listening to this podcast presented by Compassion Church. For more information on service times and location, please visit CompassionDanville.com.